You're listening to Quest to the Core, a podcast about leading with intention, clarity, and courage from the inside out, where the leadership journey gets personal, reflective, and powerfully real. In every episode, Jonna and Simone invite you into thoughtful dialogue that challenges assumptions, sharpens self-awareness, and equips you with actionable insights to lead with greater impact. Now, here is today's episode.
Welcome back to Quest to the Core. I'm Jonna.
And I'm Simone. When you hear the word empowerment, what comes to mind? I think for a lot of leaders, it's about giving somebody authority or even handing over a decision to someone else.
Like it's something we give as if we are holding all the power and everyone else is just simply sitting there waiting for permission. And that's really where it gets tricky, because if empowerment depends on me handing it to you, then I'm still the one holding the power.
And for our listeners, Jonna and I have an approach to empowerment that might be contrary. Well, it's actually not might be. It is actually contrary to what you'll find in the dictionary for the word empowerment. And the traditional definition, you know, Merriam-Webster's, dictionary.com, positions empowerment as something that you give to someone else. But we're going to look at it from a different perspective.
We are, which is something that we enjoy doing. And it's based on our observation as well as our experience. But from a perspective of empowerment as a leadership model, it is reframed as a process resulting in the environment that we create. So it's a condition that, when present, lets people move freely and confidently and be able to exercise the power to get things done.
Today, we're going to talk about what makes that environment thrive and the invisible side that most leaders don't really see. So, Jonna, let's jump into it.
Yeah, absolutely. When we talk about empowerment, the word gets thrown around a lot in leadership conversations, especially when we're talking about a team. But it can also apply to a parent empowering their children, teaching them those skill sets. But basically, when we hear the word empowerment, what it sounds like to me is that everybody's saying is, I empower you.
So, you know, it sounds nice to be able to say, hey, let me give you this power. But that assumes that I have all the power to give. And there's this whole funky dynamic that arises when you do that. And it doesn't work that way. It's not a clean way for it to work.
Well, I know when we were trying to reflect upon the best way to like visualize what the definition of empowerment is compared to how we are at least sharing our perspective on the word empowerment, I kind of chuckled and thought about, you know, Oprah during one of her shows when she gave everybody a car and she's like, you get a car and you get a car and you get a car, right? And it's like, okay, I'm going to give you the power to be empowered. I'm going to give you the power to be empowered. And then so we treat it as a transaction, right? So like, you get a car. Now I'm going to sit back and watch you drive your car away. Mm-hmm. And that's almost how we look at empowerment currently, is that treating it as a transaction. I'm giving you the power. Now I'm going to sit back and wait and let you kind of do your thing. And this really is founded on two assumptions. One, that the leader has all the power. And two, that other people are actually just patiently waiting for that permission for that power.
Yeah, not everybody wants the power. And let's face it, the people who want power are going to stand up in times when power is needed. And so
they're going to take
this whole
initiative.
Idea of sitting around and waiting for that. They're going to take the initiative. Exactly.
From my perspective, real empowerment is not giving people more to carry. Like, I'm giving you the power to. It is removing what's in people's way so that they can be successful and can help the team be successful.
I think, you know, the way you're talking about it is that it's more, rather than the transaction, there's a process around it. The employees they're given autonomy and authority to make decisions and responsibility, but there's a discussion around what are the parameters with it. So it's not just this, hey, this checklist of do step one, step two, step three, I've empowered my team, check, I'm good, I'll go on to the next thing. It is what needs to be in place for them to feel the autonomy. What type of decisions can they make? So it's that co-created space that can only be initiated by the leader. So in that sense, they have power to do that, but they're not necessarily giving the power to do it.
And so the focus is not in on the leader. It's Mm-mm. really focused in on that bridge, that connection between the leader and the employee mm-hmm. and the experience that the employee is having in this interaction with the leader and the team as well.
Yeah, I think there's a two-part equation that pops up for me. There's an outer part and an inner part, and the leader is in control or has the power of that outer part. So that the leader needs to create this space for it to be safe for a person to step into power. And the second part is an inner narrative that the employee or the child may have. They bring an inner narrative 100% of the time. So the leader can create this wonderful space. But if that inner narrative or their emotional state, their mental mindset is not set in such a way that they can step into that safely, then they won't. So there's really two parts of it that a leader needs to consider and attend to with this whole concept of empowerment.
And we're actually going to talk about both of those pieces. And really thinking about that first one, you can tell people that they have ownership or autonomy, and you can tell people that they have the power. But if the environment tells them that they don't, or that there is blame, or that there is not a clear direction, then it doesn't matter how much you tell people they can be empowered. They're not going to feel empowered, because empowerment is not an event. It mm-hmm. is built on that relationship, as you mentioned. It's built on those intentional choices that the leader makes by providing the clarity, and then with that foundation of trust.
Well, when the leader makes those intentional choices to create that space, people feel the trust. They understand what's expected of them. It's a different feeling for them. And that, in that feeling, is where empowerment thrives. Because without that sense of safety, when an employee or a child steps in and does something risky, they can feel exposed. Like, you know, making a mistake is not okay. And when you're doing something either new, or you're responsible for completing something, and you don't feel safe, or you're concerned that you're going to mess up, you're not going to be fully involved in it, because there's this narrative running that, oh, I can't mess up.
Well, and I know that we talk a lot about words that get used interchangeably, or when we think that we give someone autonomy, that we've given them empowerment. And those are clearly two separate things. However, they are connected. If you do give autonomy without clarity, if you do give autonomy without a vision of what it is that success looks like, then it can be pure chaos and can actually erode that trust and erode that relationship.
So the conversation is key. You've got to intentionally say, here are the expectations. It's okay to try. It's okay to fail.
So I would love to hear from your perspective. What are some things that shows up when people don't feel empowered?
Well, I think they spend a lot of time trying to get it right. They spend a lot of time saying, hey, tell me exactly what I need to do, because I don't know what to do. And so there's this whole learned helplessness that comes up with people, because either they've seen what happens when someone makes a mistake, or when they make a mistake, and they don't want that to happen again. So they want to make sure that they're going to get it right. So there's a lot of, let me run around and make sure I get this right. There's oftentimes just sitting and waiting for somebody to tell them what to do versus seeing an action and taking it. So for example, if, you know, walking through the warehouse floor, there's a piece of paper on the floor, a lot of people will walk right over it. But someone who's empowered is going to pick it up and throw it away, because they know what the values are to keep that warehouse floor clean, or whatever the issue may be. Same thing with a parent and a child. Well, you know, a parent may say, why didn't you clean your room? Well, you didn't tell me to clean my room. So as a parent, you could be frustrated that they didn't clean their room, or you can examine for yourself, what conditions did I set up that was their response, and that they don't have ownership over keeping their room clean. So it does come back to that leader on setting that up. So what are some other things that you see that may pop up when people don't feel that empowerment to operate autonomously?
Well, I think when there is not empowerment in an environment, it equates to an environment where there is not a lot of learning that takes place. It's more of, this is the way we're going to do it. And if you don't, then you're going to be in trouble. Or at least that is the perception of the people in the group. It may not necessarily be 100% accurate, but perception is reality. And therefore, there is not going to be a lot of innovation. There's not going to be a lot of creativity. People are not going to go out of their way to try to see if they can make things better because they don't want to get in trouble or they don't want to get caught doing something that they're not supposed to do, even though they're trying to make something better. And then ultimately, they can potentially just give up and they're just like, I'm just showing up, I'm doing the bare minimum, and then I'm leaving.
Yeah. And if they're in that environment where they're fearful of doing something different, or they're expecting to just be told what to do, or even their capacity to learn gets stunted. Their curiosity wanes. There's a lot of bigger implications than just, oh, I don't want to do what it takes to have an empowering environment, or to say, check, I told them they were empowered.
Because that works.
So you have to, yeah, that works completely. So you have to really, you know, create that space of it. And so when we say create it, what are some of the things that a leader can do or that a parent can do to create that space?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it makes me think of the Simon Sinek story that he has told when he was staying at the Four Seasons and he struck up a conversation with the barista. And the barista was very energetic, very just engaged in their work as well as with the customers. And so Simon Sinek had asked if they liked their job. And of course, you could tell that this individual loved what they did. And Simon continued to ask questions about, well, what makes it such a great place? And the barista began to explain that the leaders come around, check in on him, ask him how he's doing, ask him if he needs anything, ask him if he has the tools to do his job, if there's anything that they can remove from, you know, obstacles from whatever it is that he's encountering. So he knows that the leaders not only care about what he's doing, but he knows that their goal is to provide great customer service, and they are doing everything that they possibly can to set that individual up for success. And the story continues on, and the barista mentions that he works part-time across the street at another place for a little extra cash. And it is a complete opposite where the leaders pretty much walk around to try to catch them doing something wrong. And so he acknowledged that he shows up and only does what he has to do, but does not go above and beyond, does not give the extra effort simply because the leaders are not setting him up for success. So I think as leaders, we have to create that structure so that our people, and again, whether we're talking about our employees or even our children, but that they have the knowledge that they can have the confidence in what they do to make those decisions, to take action. That is what actually equals empowerment.
Well, in that Simon Sinek story, I've heard two really key actions that a leader can take to help create the conditions for empowerment to show up. And one of them is psychological safety. And there's several steps, I'm sure, that the barista's manager set up. Like, it's okay to fail. It's okay to try. It's okay to learn versus having that whole threat circuit. But that what that psychological safety is creating that learning mechanism versus, you know, that circuit for threats. You know, on the other side of the street for his other job, it was obvious that he was primed and ready and trying to avoid the threats. Creating a safe environment is one of the actions that I heard in that story. The second one is really the managers reduced some of that potential cognitive overload where the role was very clear. The expectations were clear. The managers came in and were checking in on those expectations, but then also asking information. So really the third one, like attending to someone's belonging, that the whole social aspect, like as a leader or as a parent, I think you can create the conditions for empowerment by attending to that whole social belonging aspect of it. Asking people what their thoughts are, what their opinions are, and just making sure they feel and experience being heard. Those are some really critical and easy things to, easy, but tough. Easy if you're intentional about it.
That's exactly what I was just going to say.
Okay, good. So I'll let you continue with that particular thought. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I was going to say it is easy if we are intentional about it. Uh-huh. If we take the time to say this is how we're going to set the environment up. I immediately jump to what does the brain think about empowerment? And what I find fascinating is that empowerment is not just this psychological state that we want people to be in. But that when we create the environment and we help people step into being empowered, then there actually is science that shows they are tangible changes in the brain, so that when people experience empowerment, it creates these new neural pathways, and therefore you're going to see more empowerment because it's a feedback loop. And the more that we do it, the better we get at it, the more that we're going to be rewarded in our brain for it, the hormones are going to kick in and just really create this motivation, this focus, and even emotional balance when individuals are within more challenging or stressful situations. That's when you see a employee or even your child become empowered in a situation to handle it, make the decisions, do the things that they need to do, because we've helped them create those neural pathways.
Well, in the creating of those pathways too, you're actually creating capability.
Ooh, say that again.
In helping to shape those neural pathways, you are creating capability, which reduces that dependence on having the answers. So as a parent, this is a fundamental focus that I think all parents should have. And so one of the things I did was with my daughter, when she was younger, I had a conversation with myself. What do I want for her when she's 25, when she's 30? And so I set this goal that I want her to be able to get the things she wants in life. And there's a lot in that statement. That she can make the decisions to get there. She would have the financial resources to figure out how to get the things that she wants. So she wasn't dependent on me or dependent on someone else to be able to do that, but that she can create that. So, when she's 9, 10 years old, there were ways I needed to be as a parent to fulfill on that long-term pathway. And so that's what my goal was. And so when reading through all of this, I was like, yeah, what I was really doing was helping to create that capability so that she can do that and be that on her own. And even watching that develop over time is just fascinating. And it's fun to watch. And I'm really proud of her and what she's up to and what she's able to do. And it's hers completely. It was, but through some of that development and creating that empowerment.
And it helps create that confidence inside of individuals so that they can encounter different situations and be able to process it and make decisions and really succeed in whatever comes up. And that's really what we want for all people.
And there's one more element of this that we haven't touched as what a leader can do to create empowerment. So before we go on to the next segment, it's really important as a leader when you're trying to create this environment for empowerment to arise, that you're also managing what are the threat levels, what's the stress level of what's going on. Because when stress level is high, it can really undermine empowerment. When stress is at the right level, it can fuel it. So there is a real sweet spot. So the leader, the parent needs to really be on the lookout for, is this a stress level where their capabilities are getting stretched and they're learning, or is it going to shut them down? And it's a very fine line. And so I think having that conversation, the psychological safety is really critical. And that, so if you don't have the psychological safety, if you don't have the trust, none of it's possible. And having that and also monitoring that stress level will help you to be able to create those conditions for that to arise.
I was going to say there's an optimal zone, which we did talk about, an optimal zone of learning, right? This optimal level of stress that we need to have. And when we talk about empowerment, when we talk about confidence, when we talk about being able to be innovative and creative and do all of these things, we have to ensure that it's not easy, that there has to be some level of challenge because mm-hmm. our brain likes that, right? Mm-hmm. Our brain likes to be challenged, but it has to be at that right level. And having that connection and understanding who that person is really important to know where their threshold is.
So, you know, we can talk about all the right steps to foster an empowering environment for our team and for our kids. But if we have not truly connected with them, if we don't know them, if we've not truly listened to them, we may be missing the mark.
And I think this is the part that doesn't get talked about enough. I think any kind of business podcast article talks about empowering people. You need your people to be empowered and feel empowered. But not everyone wants to step up into that power. Not everyone wants that full autonomy. And leaders need to understand who those individuals are, but then understand why. What's the context behind it?
You know, and context speaks so much louder than the slogans. And the slogan we're talking about today is, hey, you're empowered. If in the room, the general sense is, don't make a mistake. You can't make a mistake. People are going to play it small. If the context in the room is you're capable, I've got your back, let's try it and see. Self-leadership is going to show up. And when we're talking about empowerment, that's really what we're talking about. How we created a space where self-leadership can arise or can be developed and arise within an individual.
So an empowering context really clears the path, removes the obstacles. When you have clarity on the outcomes, who decides what, feedback is fast, it's immediate, it's ongoing, and leaders are actively removing that friction, you will see an empowered individual and an empowered team.
And then on the flip side, that disempowering context does just the opposite. So a disempowering context will show up when the goals are vague, when there is not clear authority, there may be limited or no feedback at all, and a leader will come in to rescue rather than helping to create the space where people can solve the problem themselves.
I'm just thinking about some disempowering context, especially with individuals that I've talked to recently. And a big one that keeps coming up is that my boss is a micromanager. And so what are some things that you would either recommend this individual maybe to manage up to that leader or boss that micromanages them?
Well, I think there's two aspects of it. So is the leader actually a micromanager? Is it just my thought that that's what they're doing? Is that my interpretation of what they're doing? Oftentimes it's going to be a blend of it. And so when you walk in and you're thinking, hey, my boss is a micromanager, whenever you submit something, you know they're going to micromanage it. And so to you, micromanagement may be them cutting it apart or redoing it for you. And you may not give it 100%. So your level of effort will go down. So it's that mindset that you bring in. What we're talking about here is as a leader, ask yourself, what's the context that my employee has? And if you don't know that they think you're a micromanager, that's a different challenge. And more than likely,
that's another episode you can go watch.
Yeah. And more than likely, they're not going to know that that's what the disempowering context is for them. But as an individual, if I know that that's my context of my manager, it's up to you as an individual to really shift your own context. So what you can do is shift it to thinking about your manager differently. I trust that my boss really cares about the outcome. I can earn trust by showing progress earlier and often. That's why my boss is acting this way. That's one approach that an employee can take. And it may not work, but if I approach my work that way with a micromanaging boss with that context, I am going to do the work from a different spirit and a different approach. And it's hard. I have worked for some bosses who may tend to be that way, or I've worked for some that when they got really stressed, they would become a micromanager. So, and then of course I got stressed on top of that. But when I could shift my context to they really care about the outcome, then it shifted how I offered what I was doing and how I statused them. So I learned what they wanted and what they cared about and got to it early and often. How about you?
Well, I'm going to go back to what surfaced for me when you were talking, and that it really is knowing the other person and mm-hmm. making that connection and taking the time to have a conversation, especially if you're the employee and you feel like your leader is micromanaging, to have that conversation, to understand where each of you are at so that there can be some bridge that's built to understand what does empowerment look like for that person, I think is an important piece. From my perspective, hearing people who say my boss is micromanaging me, but yet in other situations, they want their boss to tell them exactly what to do. Mm-hmm. So it's understanding what is it that they want empowerment to do, because it may not be in all elements or all aspects. And so understanding mm-hmm. what does that balance of support need to be for that individual to be empowered in the situations that they feel they have the confidence to do that.
That part is so important. You know, that empowerment will never arise if the manager, the leader, the parent doesn't know the individual that they're trying to empower. If that relationship is not there, the openness of the conversation is not okay, then true empowerment won't happen.
It won't.
Yeah. So when people show up in an empowered context, they're really willing to show autonomy and practice autonomy, because they know that when they're practicing it, that you'll give them feedback along the way so that they can develop that skill and capability of being autonomous. Same thing with decision making or problem solving. It's when that environment is set up, someone who has that empowering context is going to practice and come and ask, hey, how did I do? And all of that, it builds people.
It does. And it's not because we packaged power up in a nice, cute little box with a bow and gave it to them. It's because we helped create that environment and walked alongside them to see it, to use it continually, and to build those new neural pathways so that it will snowball, right, into mm-hmm. greatness. I know sometimes thinking about empowerment, because it seems like such an abstract concept, it helps to continue to think through different situations or different contexts in which you can see empowerment or disempowerment. So do you have another example, Simone, that you could share with us?
Definitely. Yeah, I think parents and leaders can relate to this one. They'll hear a person that they're either managing or parenting or working with. They will say, I'm just not good at that.
Mm.
And that is disempowering context. So if you're trying to grapple with what we mean by empowering context and a disempowering one, really is when that control is external, so it's outside of themselves. So a child or an employee saying, I'm not good at X, it's outside of them. They're not owning it. They're not jumping in. So as a leader, this is a perfect opportunity to help them shift their context, and so that they can operate within an empowering context. And again, that empowering context is more of that internal narrative. It reorients where the control is. Rather than being external, it's now internal. So an empowering context, or the disempowering one of I'm not good at XYZ, maybe being good at this thing is a skill, and I can practice and I can ask questions before I jump into it. So if you have an employee, have a child, they're saying I'm not good at it, then talk about the process of learning. Talk about how they can practice. Talk about how they can ask you questions. Whatever that is to help shift the mindset, because at that moment, the task is not getting them to complete the task. The task is having them want to learn how to complete the task. And so as a leader, you got to be willing to shift with that as a nuance. Because as a leader, you're now your task is to help shift that context.
And it's more in that process mm-hmm. and not necessarily just that specific thing.
Exactly.
It's how do you help them, yes, in this thing, but the next time they encounter something similar but different, they can model that and do that. Which makes me think of our last episode. We shared how to use the CORE framework as a coaching methodology. so that when we use this in the flow of work, we can connect with people on a deeper level and fully understand who they are and help create that space for them to be empowered.
So let's look at how the concept maps to our core framework. So with curiosity, you really want to start by asking, and you know, what does the person need in order to be confident this week in what they're out to do? Particularly if you've got an employee whose their task list is huge, you can really help empower them by saying, what is the most important thing to happen this week? And listen.
And that's sometimes the hardest part is the listen part. It is. But not just listen as we normally listen and we go throughout the day, but listen with openness, because leaders must be open to different ways of thinking, different ways of succeeding. And when we can do that, we can create that environment of psychological safety, because empowerment can't thrive in the environment where there's fear or threat. It has to be an inviting, open environment for empowerment.
And then once you are able to be open to those things that are new or different, you go into the R, the reflection piece of it, and just really examining your own relationship with that power dynamic as the leader. Are you unintentionally hoarding all of the control or the information? And when there was a problem that your employees or that your child was in the middle of, did you jump in and rescue or did you help it?
Which brings us to E, which is embrace. And I look at it as embrace the messiness, mm-hmm. because I know we're talking through and it sounds so easy. We're going to create this environment mm-hmm. and it's not, you know, go get 2x4s and 4x8s and build this environment, that it is messy, because real empowerment welcomes failures, welcomes iterations of maybe what success looks like is going to be a little bit different in phase one compared to phase two. But it really is just embracing all of it.
Yeah. What did I learn? What am I going to let go of? What do I not need? Those are all very good questions. And it's a big part of the environment of empowerment.
Right. So this brings us to our reflection. So this week, I know something that I'm going to think about, but really, what is my relationship with empowerment? And am I packaging empowerment in a nice little gift and bow and trying to give it to people? Or am I creating the conditions for people to become empowered?
Very powerful reflection. And that brings us to the end of our time together. And our next episode is focusing on the courage of letting go and letting others take ownership, even when the outcome isn't known or certain. So that will be a good follow-up to this particular episode.
It will be, because that's difficult.
It is. It is. So don't forget to access our resources on our website, www.questtothecore.com. Our discussion guides are out there, and this one should be shaped that you could even have conversations with your kid as well.
And as always, a very special thanks to Grammy-recognized hit songwriter Cliff Goldmacher for our theme song. You can reference his information on our website.
Until next time, create empowerment through curiosity, openness, reflection, and embrace. The true power of leading from the core.